This is Twit.
This one is actually a story that we've been covering for years. No, seriously, years. Even longer than net neutrality. And that's the DOJ, the Department of Justice, versus Microsoft. This is round 4, 5, or 6. It depends on how you're counting. Now, this past Wednesday, Microsoft filed its opening brief in the case of the United States versus Microsoft, currently before the United States Supreme Court. At stake is the ability of the United States government to compel a company to turn over digital data stored outside of the United States. That's not on our sovereign soil. Now, let's take a walk. Back in August of 2014, Microsoft lost a legal battle to prevent the United States Department of Justice from seizing data from servers located in Ireland. This happened during the Obama administration. The U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York ruled that the U.S. DOJ can seize customer email and data, even though that data is stored on servers in Dublin, Ireland. Now, District Court Loretta Preska affirmed the validity of a warrant that the United States Department of Justice had received to do just that. Lou, let's wander back a little bit. This was actually even before you became a full-time host of This Week in Enterprise Tech. But I do remember we talked about this when you were a guest. This was one of these things where we kind of knew that this was going to be important. We didn't realize how important it was going to become. Why is it important that we figure out exactly what the United States government can and cannot do with data stored overseas?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, customers who use services, doesn't matter if it's Microsoft or not, their thought process is that my data is going to be secure, especially if I'm hosting in a big company like Microsoft. And if I'm, you know, traveling throughout the world, no matter where my data is kind of, you know, it's co-located, it's, you know, wherever its origin is at, I kind of feel like that's the almost defining line between, you know, where the data comes from the US, where it might come from my Asia or European, that kind of thing. And that's the understanding. So, like, you know, if I have data that's, you know, again, what DOJ is saying, though, is if you're a criminal, it doesn't really matter what boundaries there are. Right. And so I think that, you know, this line needs to be defined very clearly, not just for criminals, but for everybody. And, if, of course, there's a reverse view as well, as, you know, countries that have laws against, you know, where data goes and how it's stored and where it can be, you know, where it can be sent to, they're very worried about this, because if a company like the United States says, hey, you know, we can grab any data we want anywhere, if somebody's quote unquote a criminal or being prosecuted as a criminal, then, you know, what happens to our laws? You know, do you basically say you can't, we're not going to follow them? So there's a lot of things going on here, and I think clear lines need to be defined to help that the understanding of it.
I'm very glad you brought that up. We're definitely going to be diving that into a bit more, just a bit. But let's give the audience some more background, because maybe not all of them have been following TWiET for the last 3-4 years. Now, you have to remember that the United States government's case is based on the 1986 Stored Communications Act. In fact, anytime you hear a case regarding email, it's probably involving the 1986 SCA. Now, quote, this is from them. The disclosure of records under such circumstances has never been considered tantamount to a physical search under Fourth Amendment principles, and Microsoft is mistaken to argue that the SCA provides for an overseas search here, as there is no overseas search or seizure. Microsoft's reliance on principles of extraterritoriality and comity falls wide of the mark. Now, that again was from District Judge Loretta Preska when she said that, yes, this is a warrant that should be able to go through. Now, the important part here, the one that you have to take away, is that they were essentially arguing that the Fourth Amendment does not apply because digital data does not equal physical search. So that's important. If you believe in the Constitution, as Lou said, you have to define exactly what does that mean. Does my digital footprint get the same protection as my person? I don't know. That's exactly what the Supreme Court is trying to suss out. Now, the last time we heard about this was back in 2016. Now, that was when the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit reversed, vacated, and remanded a lower court decision that would have forced Microsoft to give the United States Department of Justice emails on that server in Ireland. And that was the decision we just talked about. Judge Susan Carney wrote that the decision for the court, stating that the Stored Communications Act of 1986 does not, in fact, authorize U.S. courts to issue and enforce judgments for the seizure of customer content that is stored exclusively on servers in foreign countries, even if the owner of those servers is a U.S.-based company. So let's go through the timeline. The Department of Justice comes to Microsoft, and this was for a drug case. And they say, we think you have data on your servers in Ireland that might help us to crack this case of a crime that happened in the United States. Microsoft says, wait a minute, we're not comfortable giving you data on a server that's in another country. In fact, you might remember around this time, Microsoft actually started up a service, a specific service that said, we will store your data on a foreign server and we will get rid of all the keys. We will have no access to that. Any access to that data has to come from that country's board set up specifically to determine whether or not data can be retrieved. Okay, so they lose. They appeal. They lose again. They appeal. And now a higher court says, no, you were right. This warrant is not applicable because it is extraterritorial. Now we get up to the present. And in the present, the United States Department of Justice is going after them again. Specifically, they're saying, look, there's never been a limit on extraterritoriality when it comes to seizures. We've got a warrant. We know that there's a crime being committed. And so therefore, there should be a clean cut case. But it's not, for a lot of reasons. Now, let's get this a bit more of a glossing over, because this is a case that's been running for 3 to 4 years already. Lou, let me argue devil's advocate here. We do need a mechanism for trying to solve crimes, for getting data that will help us solve crimes, that will help to protect the laws of the land. So why shouldn't I be allowed with a warrant, if I am a government official with a warrant, so a court of law has agreed that I should have access to this information, why should I not be able to go to a Microsoft or an Amazon or an Apple and say, here's the warrant, and I know that data is stored on a server in Somalia, but I need it here and I need it now, and if you don't give it to me, I can hold you in contempt of court. What's wrong with that?
So I think there's a couple things. I think, you know, property and, money is a little different. Like, of course, they can seize money all around the world, different banks, and that's because the banks agree to this kind of use. But I think, you know, information is different. The whole saying information is power, and, you know, people have information not just about potentially the crime that has been committed, but information about other things that are proprietary and secret and important. And so I think here is where the whole idea is, you know, this is a global market and each company, country has different regulations around, you know, what things happen. Like, for instance, same thing happens when you go to a country. Some countries, you know, they can't extradite you out of the country because there's laws against that from that country. That can be extrapolated to data as well. As you know, this particular thing is once it's here and you can't take it away. You can't ask for it. You can't take it out. And I think we have to be cognizant of these laws and we have to be appreciative of those laws in these other countries. And so giving the power to DJ to say we can do whatever we want, there's going to be still restrictions no matter where they go. So even if they win at this, you know, we might go to, China and say, hey, this person's data is in China. Let's go take the data, give us the data from China. Well, Microsoft's going to have to go to China and say, can we give them the data, right? And I think there's going to be a lot more here than we think, and even the DOJ thinks. So I think it's almost a winless battle.
Right. Now, the other thing here, and Specs actually pointed this out in the chat room, is this idea of reciprocity. It may sound like a good idea. It sounds, and I understand this, because I would want to be able to go after the criminals wherever they are. But the question is, if we're going to apply our laws on digital data stored in other countries, does that mean that other countries can assert their laws on digital data stored in our country? And that becomes a hell no. You know, if there's a country that thinks a certain type of content is offensive to their particular worldview, their particular religion, whatever it might be, does that mean that I have to turn over the identity of that person who may own that content? Well, no. I mean, there would be a huge outcry if our law enforcement even thought about doing that. So why, if we would never accept that, do we think that other countries would accept it from us? That just makes no sense to me. Again, that's devil's advocate. But Luke, can you think of a reason? I mean, if you were Ireland, if you were running the Microsoft data center in Ireland, you're an Irish citizen, and the United States comes to you and says, hey, I know you have this agreement where you're the gatekeeper for all of this data, but here's a warrant from a country of which you're not a citizen, and we need that data. And we're going to send people to sovereign soil to come collect those servers.
I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, I think, you know, if I was a citizen of a country where, you know, the laws say it was one thing, you know, I got to follow those laws. So I would say, you know, if the law says that the data is our data and no one can ask for it, then I'd say, no, you know, you can't have the data. Now, if it's a company where there's the laws are kind of gray, you know, in the same sense, I would still say no, because I think that in that same case, you know, you'd have to go through review and you know, again, it could be a business killer in some sense if people don't feel like their data is safe. So there's a lot of things to go on there, that different areas to kind of consider when it comes to that type of thing. So I would say in that case, I would almost say no in more than one scenario.
All right. And Emily the Strange in the chat room actually sums it up quite well. She says that her only problem is that we respect our laws, but criminals don't. So criminals can dance around us because not everyone plays by our rules. But here's the thing. That's not new. That's not a digital era thing. That has been happening forever, since laws have been instituted, since we had the ability to move from country to country, since multinational corporations have existed. And yes, it's a lot harder. It is a lot harder. But the alternative is you don't live by the rule of law. And I don't think that's acceptable.